Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now. But something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Hey, don't be mad at me, but I just realized I really named this episode wrong. I called it The Cure for Perfectionism, but what I'm about to share with you is what I've realized about perfectionism, my own in particular, and the fact that it really can't be cured, but it can totally be managed. You know, I remember the first time someone pointed out to me that I might be a perfectionist. I almost didn't get it at the time because I was in a coach training and we were being asked to identify our coaching niche and who our ideal clients were. By that time, I'd already been a therapist for over 20 years and I was struggling with choosing a niche. I know a lot of people have a hard time with this issue when they first start out, but I had always prided myself on my ability to help a wide variety of people with a wide variety of problems. So choosing a niche felt incredibly limiting. One of the other trainees leaned over and said, "Hey, why don't you coach perfectionists?" I acknowledged her suggestion politely and then immediately started ruminating about why she made it. "Does she think I'm a perfectionist?" I asked myself. Now, in case you don't know, the majority of life coaches work with people who are a lot like them, helping them with the same kind of challenges they have or had, whether it's divorce, weight loss, building a business, confidence, parenting, you name it. So I imagine that the reason she thought I should coach perfectionist was that she thought I was one. Well, of course, I immediately rejected the suggestion because in my mind, perfectionist is someone who does things perfectly, obviously. I mean, they clearly would have a perfectly organized home, run a perfectly systematized business, have perfectly behaved children, a perfect body, a perfect spouse, and that was so not me. Now, I'm not exactly a hot mess, but I am far from perfect, and I'll be the first one to admit it. Well, sometime later, I realized that actually, her recommendation was spot on. I am a perfectionist, and I always have been. The real reason I didn't get it is because I misunderstood the definition. I thought a perfectionist is someone whose life is perfect. But guess what? It turns out that a perfectionist is someone who believes that it could be, should be, wishes it were, and suffers internally because it isn't. Oh, that's what it means. Yeah, that's definitely me. Now, I didn't rush right out and start coaching people on perfectionism because I hadn't yet dealt with it myself. It took me quite a while to work my way out from under that denial. I mean, I didn't want to be the blind leading the blind, and I actually didn't even start dealing with it right away. It was sometime later, maybe even a couple of years, when my own assistant pointed out that at the rate I was going in building my online business, I'd probably be in the grave before things got up and running. Ouch. Oh my God, I would scour every word for possible typos before I could hit publish. Before I could start a podcast, this podcast, the one you're listening to right now, I had to research every editing, hosting, and distributing software on the market and sign up for a free trial of each one so I can compare their relative strengths and limitations. I was also trying to teach myself how to build a website from scratch with zero tech experience. I could go on and on, but I'm pretty sure you get my point by now. And I didn't think I was procrastinating either because I was literally working my ass off. I just didn't have anything to show for my efforts because I was constantly searching for the perfect tool instead of simply choosing one and moving forward. Now, it's interesting to note that I didn't feel anxious or worried. As a matter of fact, I was pretty confident that the best solution was out there and I just needed to find it. And by golly, I was committed to doing the work of finding the perfect tool. Point is that it was absolutely unnecessary to find the perfect tool in order to get started. The truth is, when you're building a business, any website platform will be good enough to start on. Any podcast host would get the job done. Any email service provider would get you going. it was actually a source of pride for me that I was willing to put in the time and energy to find the very best tools available. While all the marketing experts and online entrepreneurs around me were preaching imperfect action and, quote unquote, just ship it. But I had higher standards, and I was willing to put in the time to make it right. The only problem was I wasn't making anything. It took me about a year and several uncomfortable conversations with my husband to recognize I simply wasn't getting anywhere. I was not able to recognize how deep down the rabbit hole I really was. Stop. I wasn't able to recognize how deep down the rabbit hole I really was. Yes, I was also dealing with the fear of failure, and I was learning a ton of technology, and those were legitimate additional factors. But the truth of the matter is, it was perfectionism that was getting the better of me and was the real reason why my fledgling business was literally taking forever to get liftoff. And when I finally got honest with myself, and I mean really, really honest, I had to admit that my thinking at the time was, if I can't do it perfectly, I don't want to do it. And because I had committed myself to doing it, it had to be perfect. No typos, the best platform, the best software, the best quality, the best design, the best of everything. And so, of course, I was super judgy. I judged everybody else's website, email, and podcast episode that I saw or heard, thinking of how it could be better, seizing upon any evidence of sloppy grammar, grainy images, echoey audio as evidence that it was well worth my while to take my time and keep searching for the best and working on making it the best. I completely failed to notice that they were producing, even if it was imperfect, while I was not. Well, I finally had my long overdue come to Jesus meeting with myself and made a firm commitment to dealing with my perfectionism. And I'll be the first one to admit it is not easy, and I definitely slip up all the time. I have to constantly watch myself for signs of backsliding and going unconscious to my old habits again. Like most change, it requires adjustment in both my behavior and my mindset. Now, I've never been an addict, but I imagine it might be kind of like being in AA, one day at a time. So I guess you could say I'm a recovering perfectionist, and I probably really shouldn't think of it in terms of a cure. Can I share with you my system for how I manage it? Here's what I do. When I have a choice to make, I allow myself three options. I even set a time limit on how long I will give myself to consider those options and make the damn choice. I remind myself daily and sometimes multiple times a day that everything I do in my business and my life is an experiment. And when I'm in the right frame of mind, it's even an adventure. This helps so much with my fear of commitment and fear of making mistake. Incidentally, very related to perfectionism. So if I'm signing up for a service of some kind, I just sign up for their trial period or a month-to-month contract instead of the annual plan, at least in the beginning. It's more expensive that way, but it lowers the risk of feeling like I'm making a mistake and getting locked in so that I'm able to move forward instead of postponing the commitment and indulging endlessly in research mode the way I used to. When it comes to creating content, I no longer edit as I create. Now, I create first and I edit later. This helps keep the inner critic under control during the creation process, and I get much more done in a whole lot faster time frame. I even have to give myself strict deadlines, because when there's an opportunity to dabble endlessly, I get in trouble. The more time I have, the more my perfectionism can be indulged. I just consider it too risky, so I have eliminated that possibility. When I find myself comparing myself to others who do what I do, I have to pull way back, because perfectionism, incidentally, is absolutely fed by comparisonitis and FOMO. I can't afford to go there. If I have to unsubscribe from every podcast and every blog, if I have to stay the heck away from social media and put my head down and stay in my lane, then that's what I'm going to do. My perfectionism has already cost me a lot, and I'm just not willing to pay anymore. So now that I'm no longer in denial about my perfectionism, I find it so much easier to forgive myself too. On good days, I can even see the humor in it. And I tell you, there are times I just laugh my ass off at the way I used to be, and sometimes still am. I'm not willing to go to the opposite extreme, though. I mean, let's face it, I will never be striving to have low standards or not care about quality, and I'll never reach the point where I give no fucks about anyone else's opinion. I'm always going to care. I will always appreciate something done well, and I'll always notice mistakes and sloppiness, mine and others. But what's changed is that I no longer allow it to prevent me from showing up. I no longer allow it to prevent me from accepting myself and others as is. And I now proudly claim to be a work in progress. And I'm totally okay with knowing I always will be. So if you've had enough of your perfectionism holding you back, or how about your procrastination, people-pleasing, distractibility, imposter complex, or all of the above, I've got you. And for the first time ever, in addition to my individual coaching program, I'm going to be offering group coaching online this fall. To get all the details, you got to get on the waiting list. There's a link in the show notes and also on my website. Want to hear from someone who's actually worked with me? Here's my client, Rachel.
I didn't have you helping me along the way to understand a lot of this stuff. The meds would have been a waste for me, a complete and total waste. I would have had a little bit more energy maybe, but still the habits, whatever. There's no magic pill. It's always gonna be something I'm gonna have to work on, and I am understanding that and being okay with that and just kind of working through that and thinking and being intentional and stopping myself and doing all of the things for the first time in my life. I'm gonna tell you right now, the meds have allowed me to slow stuff down enough that I've never been this effective at anything cognitive ever in my life. But I've also never had it explained to me by somebody who understands what's going on in my head either.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman Podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.